And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and this is the business innovation. What is innovation? I just made up a new word, innovation. Innovation panel, which is always on the third Monday, right? Is this the third Tuesday of every month? I didn't even know if it's Monday or Tuesday today. Hey, your mic isn't on, I don't think.
Hello. There you go.
There you go.
My mic is on.
I saw your mouth moving, but I didn't hear
anything. Oh, you couldn't hear me?
Yeah. Let me see. Spencer.
I was asking, what did you do yesterday?
Oh, what did I do? I had, the Match No Match, a debut show with Cynthia Hyatt. It's a great show. Match No Match, a dating show, is excellent.
It must have been great because it made you forget.
Yeah, that's
yesterday.
Right. It did. It was like hypnotic.
A mental overload of greatness.
That's right. A mental stimulant. It was phenomenal. I really enjoyed it. Cynthia was phenomenal and got a lot of great compliments from the debut show of Match No Match. Now, of course, this is a business innovation panel with Spencer Thornack and Charles Gibbs. This is exciting because we're here to help people, and the topic today is very timely. I think people are looking ultimately to help people. I always like to frame it that way, but in helping people, you may end up with a client. But to get a client, you probably need a lead.
A lead
Am
helps.
I right? So how are we going to start on this? I mean, a lead generation, there's a process for it. And of course, both of you, Charles as a marketing guy, Spencer as more than just a web development guy, you have to understand marketing components to websites.
I have a background in sales. So
oh, you do? Oh, this is great. So we're going to have like a heavyweight bout here, marketing versus sales.
Marketing versus sales.
Yeah, except I don't have a background in computer graphics and building websites.
But in marketing. Oh, also
But
sales,
I do understand the whole process that's involved in what I call relationship marketing. And I think everything starts with a lead.
It does. And I'm going to offer something. I'm going to offer this a diagram that no one can see, but I'm going to talk about it because I think it would be very important to see how there's a formula for success. And if you start from the end result, what I would call serving others, a lot of people think the end result is a sale in which they can make money. But I think it's always serving others. And serving others is from getting clients and or non-clients. So if you follow this diagram, the end result is serving others. You got clients and non-clients because you can serve both, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then from there, it's a sale. So mm-hmm. if we just look at that piece, we have a sale, non-clients, clients, serving others. But that is all built on, and you guys can chime in anytime you want and apply your formulas too, is that it's the value you give. If you don't have value, you're not going to have a lot of sales. And it's your beliefs that you can serve others. The beliefs are really a big, important mm-hmm. part of this. This is part of neurolinguistic programming. Without beliefs, that's great, but if you don't have skill sets in which to deliver the value, guess what?
Right.
It's not going to happen. You need exposure, pipeline, contacts. That's where the leads come in. So anyway, that's my magic formula. How do you like it, guys?
Well, it sounds intriguing, and I believe that it's a big part of all businesses have to understand that it's an ongoing process, building what I call your funnel, which is how lead generation really works. And there's different processes that people go through to try and determine how to generate business prospects and eventually, hopefully, turn them into customers. And to me, you know, people tend to get those two things mixed up. A prospect isn't necessarily a customer. A customer is a customer. Mm-hmm. And so as you start to identify with people, you need to be for sure that you understand which one you're working with, because once a person becomes a customer, that's the ultimate of the relationship, and that's where everything really does start. You know, you gotta come through.
Now, can you ever make a customer into a prospect? Interesting, right?
Not really, because once someone does business with you, they are a customer. Can you lose a customer's business? Yes, you can.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I meant. It's like you got to be careful.
Be a prospect again, and then you could rearrange the business.
Yeah, really. It's kind of like, do I know you?
Yeah. So, Spencer, in your line of work, that's sort of what websites probably serve as a function, is to attract prospects.
Well, one of the major goals, what we like to talk about in the initial planning stages, are establishing goals for the website. And because it's one thing to just build a website that has it's kind of an online brochure with your phone number and hope people call, but there's the other aspect where we're actually setting goals of driving a user's a visitation path towards some sort of conversion, where we're trying to turn that person into some sort of active lead through either a contact form submission or taking alternate goals of signing up for newsletters. So ultimately, what you're doing is you're presenting your services in a way that establishes credibility and helps people understand what you do, and then gives them the ability to easily submit their information and have them call you, or they actually give you a call from their website.
So the real bottom line is having value and then having exposure, because if you can't get exposure, you could be the best in your profession, but if no one knows you exist, what happens?
It's like a kiss in the dark.
Well, I've never tried that.
Well, I mean, when you
how does that work?
Yeah, I should say it's like throwing a kiss in the dark.
Oh,
I was like, kiss in the dark.
Yeah,
okay.
I've tried that before. Yeah. And it seems to work.
You when you talk about prospecting and you talk about lead generation, and you look at the fact of what are some of the processes that one goes through to generate leads. Well, you have to identify with them, and I, over the years, I've done that to identify with the fact that most people are in one of three stages. They're either information seekers, or they're comparing what they call comparative shopping, so that they can kind of see, you know, what's the possibly the best value for them, and ultimately they become buyers. Because we can't read anyone's mind, so until people tell us what stage they're in, we have to, in a sense, go through a process of treating everyone as they're in some part of those stages. And therefore, whether you're buying that lead, whether you are, in a sense, fishing for that lead, because a lot of this is like fishing in a way, you know, you're in a large body of water and you're trying to attract. So you're using things like what Spencer was talking about. You stage your website in a way where it attracts people who are interested in your product or service, and you send them through this process. But in my opinion, what I believe hurts a lot of businesses is that they disrespect the process. They want an information seeker to be a buyer when he or she may not be ready. And so you need to, in a sense, farm that or nurture that and figure it out. There's nothing like trying to solve a problem for someone that has yet to identify the problem. So,
you know, as you were talking, it reminds me of what they say about networking. A lot of people will mistakenly go to networking to try to sell versus just to try to gather information or start a relationship. And I think that's a big error. You both network. Well, I know, Charles, you do.
Yeah.
And don't you think that is a potential error?
Definitely. I mean, it's without you really, I mean, in any type of service, no matter what you're selling or whatever you're providing as far as your service, you're ultimately kind of selling yourself. That's kind of a lot of people talk about that in books and things. But people, if I'm out and I'm looking for a service, a big part of what determines whether or not I'm going to choose someone is the relationship I have with the person that's, you know, going to be providing the services or representing the company, and helping me understand my options. And I think that's a lot kind of playing into what you're talking about. I mean, if you go in there with a certain mindset, it's almost like people can smell it, and then it's kind of a subconscious thing. So you want to, it's not like you're trying to slight anyone, but you just need to change the way your approach so that you're gathering information, you're providing complementary types of relationships, and then through the relationships, the business relationships grow.
It totally makes sense. What you're saying really is people like to buy from people they like, and because that might equal trust. And if you don't trust someone, why would you buy from them?
That is very true. You have to, in your own way of thinking about relationships, I believe that it's important that you kind of identify up front what is your beginning objective versus your long-term objectives. And so when I network, I don't necessarily network to, in a sense, generate business immediately. Basically, what I'm doing is that I'm staging a situation of a relationship that I may eventually form with some of these people. And so therefore, just being in the crowd, just being in the mix and talking about entrepreneurship and about where they are versus where they're trying to get to and some of those type of things. And again, it's so important that when you talk about prospects and you talk about lead generation, you talk about networking and those type of things, that you this is a great time for you to, in a sense, get a feel for how people identify with where they are and what they're trying to do. And maybe you can help. Maybe you can't. But you'll never know if you don't build some kind of a conversation.
I think that's very, very important. And in fact, but the skill sets, and I know we're going to be coming on a break soon, maybe a minute or so, is that what we want to start thinking about, what are some of the skill sets that people need to really even generate a lead? Now, it can come through the website, so the skills really are translated on how user-friendly maybe the website is.
And the content.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the content. So we'll talk about that, user-friendly websites and content. And if you're doing it in person, though, the good old-fashioned way, eventually you're going to have communication. What are some of the skill sets, interpersonal skills that people need? Because, that all equates to people, like we said, people like people or people will buy from people who they like. Mm-hmm. And that's really important. Those are certain skills. Being a people person is one of them. And when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with the Business Innovation Panel, Spencer Thornock and Charles Gibson. We'll be right back.
What if your house is on fire, you call 911? The firemen don't know what to do, the truck's got a flat tire, the water hose has a leak, they can't decide what to wear, and everybody wants to drive the truck. This never happens because they have a process, they follow it, they're on the same page. I'll help you put your fires out with a business process. I'm Barbara Haggerty, helping you mind your own business. 602-750-4518. Increase the bottom line now. Even a two-person business needs a process, and I specialize in small business. 602-750-4518.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And this is the Business Innovation Panel, Spencer Thornock and Charles Gibb. Gibbs, I should say. Now, what we should do is real briefly, let's start with you, Spencer, on describe what you do, who your company is, a little bit, so any new listeners will know
okay.
who the Mystery Web Guy is.
The Mystery Web Guy.
We're going to call you the Mystery Web Guy from now on.
Spencer the Mystery Man.
Yeah.
My name is Spencer, and I run reallyfastwebsites.com.
And Spencer's for Hire.
Spencer
okay.
for Hire.
You didn't think I'd get that one
that's,
in.
No, it's okay.
That's a TV show. Remember that, Charles?
Oh, yeah.
Spencer for Hire.
Yeah. I've never seen it, but I've ever since
How
I
about
little.
Guess Who's Coming for Dinner? Spencer Tracy.
Spencer Tracy.
That was a great movie. Remember that? Spencer Tracy was a great actor.
I've heard You're of Spencer young. Tracy, but I
Who
was
a star with that? Katharine Hepburn.
Yes.
She was awesome.
I like Katharine Hepburn.
Sydney.
Oh, and oh, my God. Is he a great actor or what?
He's a great actor.
What's he doing? Is he still acting?
I think he's pretty much shelved a lot of that.
He was awesome,
He's
though.
Enjoying life, I think, you know, relaxation for the most part. I've not seen.
But great films he's made. Phenomenal. Yeah. Okay, Spencer for Hire. Okay,
Spencer
sorry.
Spencer for Hire.
Where were we?
We provide web development and graphic design services for building online presence on the internet. So we handle everything from small, you know, types of websites like blogs all the way up to dynamic content-driven systems like the Breakthrough Thinking website and, you know, organizing large amounts of information and or providing e-commerce types of functionality. And we focus on user interaction online and usability. So try to make the websites very usable and as well as goal-oriented. So,
which is really important. In fact, we get a lot of compliments on the Breakthrough Thinking website.
Oh, well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, that was excellent. And if people want to look at that, it's breakradioshow.com. Breakradioshow.com.
And I actually just checked the FTP, and it looks like Aaron has uploaded a few of the MP3s for the shows.
Oh, that'll be great. So we'll have the podcast.
Yeah, I'm going to work with Greg, and we'll get the every time we'll have a link by the show on the homepage, and then you'll go to the page, and then you'll be able to download or stream the previous shows. Or we'll even set it up so that if you have iTunes, you can subscribe to the podcast. It'll just automatically download to your iPhone. So
oh, that's like sort of cool.
Yeah, so it's kind of like syndicating it for, you know, because there might be times where you may not be able to catch the show, but then if you want to follow them, they'll just download to your device, your mobile device, your computer.
Or you can hear it on the website,
or you
too.
Can go right to the website, go to the past shows, and click on play.
Wow,
and
or you can have an iPod and listen to it all day long.
Yeah, I'm sure Dave will just be streaming them over and over again.
I'm going to buy an iPod.
There
I want to hear me.
Yeah, you go. So, can't wait to hear yourself again.
Yeah, there we go. So Charles, tell us a little bit about your company.
Target Niche Marketing. I am a relationship marketing specialist. I've been in sales and marketing for over 25 years. And I tell people that if you're interested in learning more about marketing and the whole process of it, how to save money from a standpoint of prospecting, from a standpoint of writing content and targeting your market in and of itself, which is why I chose the name Target Niche, because it is about targeting and it is about niches in general, niche, however you know, potato, potato.
Or nephew, niche and nephew. Yes. All right. I like that.
Yeah, a little humor.
That was a good one.
Yeah, that doesn't hurt. But
I'm here till Thursday.
Anyway, marketing, as I see it, is usually what separates success in business. People like to blame a lot of things on the economy and things of that nature. But if it's a worthy niche, there's going to be a lot of competition in it, particularly if it's a high-demand type item. But what you'll find is that the approach you take with marketing in and of itself is going to determine how you're positioned in that niche. So when you talk about people like myself as a consultant, I come in and I'm kind of one of the people that help you to be better at something that you possibly are not very skilled at, even though you may have a product or service that you do. So if marketing and sales is not what you do, then chances are you can benefit from my services.
Well, I like that. And let me ask you this question. How important is marketing? I think there's a misconception out there that people confuse marketing with sales. And I think it might be because they don't understand marketing. But how important really is marketing in the business, in the whole realm of business?
It'll make you or break you.
Yeah.
I think
he
or
right.
she who markets the best wins. That's the rules of the game. Mm-hmm. If you are engaged in any type of a business and you are not very good at targeting your audience possibly that is out there, you have not set aside a certain amount of dollars to be able to brand yourself in a way so people kind of know who you are. If you haven't thought very much about your USP, which is an acronym for your unique selling position. In other words, who are you and why should I do business with you? Because there are other choices out there. And people need to know some of those things, because I look at myself and, you know, the first part of anyone's USP is you.
Yeah. Because
people really are buying you. They're not necessarily buying your product. They're trying to, like you said before, you talk about the trust factor, which I think are the two primary things in any relationship, is the ability to respect and the trust aspect. But trust is something that is earned. Respect, you can give respect straight up front. Respect others in order to receive respect, that kind of thing. But trust sometimes can take time. So people will look at you and they'll kind of identify and then determine if they want to do business with you. Sometimes it's just a matter of how you structure your marketing to determine if you're in the forefront of someone's mind.
Now, Spencer, that makes sense, Charles. But Spencer, how is a website then part of marketing? And in my view is that if people do not have a website or a very user-friendly website, they're going to be left behind. Is that right?
Well, I think there are people out there that are very successful that may not have websites, but it's definitely going to give you an advantage. And I see the biggest advantage being comparing it to a salesperson that's available 24 hours a day.
That's an excellent point.
It's not necessarily, you know, someone talking, but I mean, you can have someone actually come walk on the side of the screen if you want to. But what it can do for you is actually present the same message over and over again and always be available. And that's something that you can't necessarily do. You have to sleep certain times. I mean, you can't be 24 hours a day.
Right.
But it also allows you to consistently deliver a message and then make small adjustments to it to track effectiveness. And that's something that you can actually use from your website into how you're interacting with face-to-face kinds of interactions.
So you can actually measure how you're doing.
Sure. You can track a lot of statistics about who's coming to your website, where they came from, how long they stayed on certain pages, if they immediately left. And you can use this information to see what type of changes you can make. And it's all about your copy and your content and what you're actually saying and what you're delivering through your website. And that's going to be a really important information in the overall marketing objective and using that type of information all over when you're using it. So
when people start a business, I think people are excited and they think they're going to do great. But maybe they forget one thing. It's like starting a car race and forgetting to get in the car, because you need some professionals to guide you.
Right.
And I think that's really important. So the integration between both of you would be absolutely critical. And some of the things, Charles, you have to offer are absolutely, well, both of you are absolutely invaluable. So what I'm thinking is if you're not going to utilize great professionals or at least somehow get access to that information, why even start a business?
That part, I think, is something that goes back to the whole aspect of what do you understand about entrepreneurship, being an entrepreneur, what is the anatomy of being an entrepreneur? Why is it that corporate America spends, you know, literally hundreds of thousands and sometimes even millions of dollars in marketing, and you are trying to, in a sense, service some of those same types of clients, but you want to spend nothing?
Yeah.
How does that work?
It doesn't usually, does it? You got to spend something.
You got to spend. You have to understand your competition probably better than you understand yourself, because if you want to win in these games today, particularly with the fact that the size of the demand has, in a sense, has been downsized. And there's a lot more supply in a lot of areas, i.e. housing as an example. When any time that happens, when supply is greater than demand, you're going to have people sitting on a lot of stuff. Okay, so when you start talking about how do you separate yourself, what is your USP, in good times, even a blind squirrel can find an acorn. You know? I mean, so.
That's a good
But
analogy.
In tough times, people are very picky about who they do business with. Service becomes, you know, very, very, very important. Not that it isn't important in good times, but I'm just saying that if you understand that this is really about relationships, and you understand that you want to always be at the forefront of how you form those relationships, I think you'll do well whether times are good or bad, unless you're in a market that just have no real demand.
Now, here's something to think about as you were talking, is that in bad times when supply is in excess of demand, a lot of people will reduce their prices. Now, here's the question. And when we come back, I know we'll be on a break soon. When we come back, I'd like to discuss this. Do you reduce prices or do you increase your skill? And I think that would be interesting because price reduction doesn't always save the day, but increasing your skills, I think, always wins. And when we come back, we'll discuss that thoroughly, as well as how to really look at a prospect mindset. I think that's really interesting and informative, and we'll be right back.
Hello, folks. This is Bob Lee with Savings Society. What if there's a way you could join our club and save up to 50% off and sometimes 60% off your prescription medicines, your airline tickets, your food bill, even your gasoline bill? Give us a call here at Savings Society, 623-242-5151. Again, 623-242-5151. We're making people wealthy. Thank you.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
What does your landscaping say about you?
I'm friendly to our planet.
I xeriscape.
I'm water smart.
I harvest rainwater from my landscape and garden.
I'm a free thinker.
My landscape is filled with flowers year-round.
I'm energy conscious.
I water wisely.
Clemente Design Landscape represents your vision with an understanding of what a well-designed and cost-effective landscape can do for you. Call us for a free one-hour consultation and evaluation at 602-540-3773. That's 602-540-3773. Or visit the website ClementeDesignIsGreen.com.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Business Innovation Panel with Spencer Thornock and Charles Gibbs. And, you know, we were talking just before the break about cost versus value, also price versus skills. But let me jump into cost versus value, because as an NLP practitioner, I see this all the time, where if you're offering something to someone, and it doesn't matter what it is, people will do one of two things. They'll either look at cost first and compare it to their own standard or their own financial circumstance, or they'll go to value first and then they'll ask, how can I afford it, versus looking at cost and say, I can't afford it. That language pattern, that message to the brain makes all the difference between success and not. Because if you negotiate against yourself and say, cost, I can't afford it, it's done. You've cut off all and any options. But if you look at the value and go, wait a minute, there's something great here. How can I afford it despite my circumstances? You may find a way. It opens up the brain. Charles,
sure.
What do you say?
Yeah, no, it's, being from the world of selling and knowing that I have dealt with a lot of people who have put price before value is kind of like the cart before the horse, you know, one of those type of things. People eventually, as I grew into that industry, I learned that the callbacks from people, in a sense, after price was the primary factor and not the value of what they were getting, what they were saying after they took it home and unwrapped it was, this is not what I thought it was going to be, that it doesn't meet my needs, and I wish that I would have known this or known that. Well, this is why when you talk about professionals, and you talk about professionals, whether they're building websites or whether they are consultants and salespeople, I didn't like the word salesman. I love consultant. Because what I try to do is help people to think outside of price and look at their needs and the value of having those needs met. And so I functioned from that perspective. Therefore, the price was a factor, but it wasn't a deciding factor.
I like that. And Spencer, we were talking off there about that. And you can relate to that one question. If you think value first, the second question or the first question is, how can I afford it if you see the value? Why don't you take us through what you're thinking about that?
Well, this kind of goes way back to my first sales job, actually, ever. And I worked at I worked in a gym. It was a local gym chain, one of the biggest in the nation. But it was a very high-pressure kind of sales. And my dad has been in sales for forever. So has my mom. They're both. So I kind of had almost a kind of a natural kind of going into it. But the one thing my dad told me was, you'll have a lot more success and you'll develop a lot more relationships, and over the long term it'll work out better for you if you don't take the pressure approach, but you take a more of a consultative type of sale. So instead of, you know, someone comes in and you have one chance to close the sale, like it's a car lot. Because, I mean, it was very similar in the way, like we did the Tommy Hopkins training where it's circle the wagons and, you know, ask the closing questions. And it was just a system that they were trying to. So anyway, I really concentrated on understanding the person's goals and why they wanted to even come into the gym in the first place. And once you start to understand and talk about this, and what the benefits of those goals and achieving those goals and how the majority of the time I was a consultant where I would help them understand that, you know, it's a commitment, and for them to really take advantage of this, a commitment that they're going to be paying, you know, this monthly commitment for this gym membership, they're going to need to come in a few times, they're going to need to make life adjustments, they're going to need to really concentrate on these goals. And I've always been into reading about different goals and studying different books and different ways to achieve things, and I was using that type of information to consult with people. And I mean, I had lots of people would go home and think about it, but they would come back. It was like we would call them B-backs. You know, the guy. it's a B-back.
Really?
Like, good luck.
They're like deer tracks. You know.
Yeah, my people came back, and when and I would call, and we had a great relationship, and people would be bringing friends, and
really?
It was my first experience with sales, and then actually from there we met the CEO of a software company, and my friend was actually selling a membership. I came in to do the TO, the kind of the sale, like, help him out and get him a better deal or whatever. And he thought we were doing great, and he hired
That's
both of us out of there.
Charge.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but he
I've heard of that.
It was a very valuable membership. And
the key is valuable.
But and he was very happy, and he actually hired both of us out of there, and we went and worked for his software company. But it boiled down to, instead of trying to push someone towards understanding and fitting in and really like what you're saying about these callbacks where someone pays and then they get home and the value is just not there, they don't feel comfortable, they come back and cancel. It's changing around and looking at it from a completely different standpoint of, how can you provide enough value, how can you help the person understand the benefits of what they're actually looking for, and then helping them trust you and become a friend and know that you're going to be there if something's going on. And then that's really where the value, and it was very fulfilling for me.
And that's the key. That's one of the rewards, not necessarily commission, but it's not about commission. It's about them, how you can help them. That's got to be fulfilling and rewarding to you, the intangible.
Mm-hmm. I think it is, and I think a lot
I like
of
it.
I think that's what I fell into is my love for sales and marketing came from the fact of seeing the satisfaction of the buyer, knowing that as I learned more and more about the art and the skills of helping people to be better buyers, then I was no longer considered, if you will, a salesman. I was the person that helped you to make better decisions, more informed decisions on how you bought. Because here's what I learned, guys. If people can't mentally justify what they just did, they will never, ever stand with it. Because they'll go home and someone else will throw something at them and they'll go, oh, I never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
And guess what? You're getting the phone call. So in the car business, which I spent a lot of years, 15 years selling Mercedes-Benz, I learned that the hard way. And sometimes what I would do when people were, in a sense, kind of waffling, if you will, on how they were making the decision, because, you know, big ticket items are, you need a big glass of water to swallow that pill.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's it. So I would always think that the most important thing is to possibly, if any way possible, there is no, I'll see you tomorrow. It's like, you're taking this baby home right now because you've already justified in your mind why this is the right purchase. And I know that if you sleep on it overnight, there's, you got 100,000 reasons, if you will, because that's the kind of ticket that was on some of these cars.
That could make
you got 100,000 reasons not to do this.
Oh yeah,
and so it's important that you get yourself out of your salesmanship, if you will, and become a consultant. Help people to be better buyers, and that they will appreciate. They will send you friends and neighbors and families because they know that once the decision is made, you can explain to someone else why you made that call.
Right.
Well, I like what you said. Help people make better decisions because actually, if you look at it. What is the essence of your life? It's really a series of decisions you made, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all it is. If you look at everything in your life today, it's because of a decision you made or a decision you didn't make.
And there's only two ways you can do that, right? Informed or uninformed.
Yeah, sure. and that's from a knowledge base. But then it even goes deeper. It's like your self-perception of low self-esteem, and you draw in bad things to you, but you have to make bad decisions to do that. So the mindset becomes an important ingredient in making decisions because you can be informed and still make a bad decision if you match reality with what you think of yourself. And if you don't think you deserve stuff, guess what will happen? You'll get what you don't want, really, but what you think you deserve.
Well, that's where emotions come in.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, sometimes people do make decisions purely based on emotions and are not thought out whatsoever. And, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, to a salesperson, your number one objective is to sell what you got, okay? However, if you're building relationships over an extended period of time, it is in your best interest to try and help people to make an informed decision.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt.
And therefore, you're qualifying and you're helping them to qualify their own thinking. So, therefore, they will appreciate it, particularly if they leave you and go to someone else that is basically putting them in the corner and just hammering them big time to do something that they can't remotely justify doing.
But, you know, a classic example of this, so we can nail this home, is that you can be really informed, and that is the role of a consultant.
Right.
However, look at singles. How many women have you seen, or guys, but let's say women first, is they go out with the bad boys. I mean, and they get exactly what, I guess on an unconscious level, that matches their self-esteem. That happens constantly. So you can be informed, like, here's certain qualities that you may want to be attracted to, but I call it unconscious selection criteria and a conscious unconscious attraction strategies that circumvent the information and knowledge someone can give you and they still attract the bad boys. Well, and that doesn't usually work very well, does it?
I'm so far removed from that. I don't know. So
no, did you hear what Spencer said?
What did he say?
Said it works well for him.
Yeah. It's all right. Well, I'm removed from that. So fortunately, I've been married for 21 years and plus.
Well, congratulations. Yes. That's sort of cool. 21 years. You look way too young for that.
So yeah, that's what everyone says. Not my wife doesn't say that. She thinks it's probably 21 painful years, but anyway.
Well, she's on line one. We'll ask her.
She probably is on line one, too. And so, but anyway, I think that you definitely have to take into consideration the whole relationship aspect of what it is that you're doing. Salespeople have a really tough job, and mostly it's because of the fact that they're taking heat from the inside that's pretty much looking at one thing and one thing only. What have you done for me lately?
Right.
And the other side, taking into consideration that prospective buyer and the fact that you're trying to form some sense of a relationship and you're trying to respect their interests and their needs. And it's a tough balance. It really is.
Well, that is a tough balance. But, Spencer, I want to hear about how this has helped you.
We could spend hours talking about this. I'd love to be a guest sometime on your show.
Oh, that would be the match, no match.
Well, yeah, I think that would be a great time.
But do you relate to that? I mean, it relates to not just singles, but the mindset. We've all known people that seem to attract disaster.
Well, I think, I think it was Napoleon Hill talked about how when you're concentrating thoughts, you're really programming your subconscious, but none of that matters unless you're wrapping emotion inside, because the emotion is the catalyst that transfers conscious thought to subconscious thought.
Yeah.
So when you're, a lot of people, I have a friend that actually, this is kind of a working example recently, but I noticed that he was constantly at it. How you doing? Oh, living the nightmare. Stuff like that. And I said, hey, just an observation, but just stop doing that.
Or,
stop
living the nightmare.
Just switch it around, and you'll see things change. And it's amazing what happens when you start to focus on different positives and kind of you can attract. You really start to work on this magnet of attraction that it will pull things to you if you're really concentrating your thoughts.
People
on
don't realize
that type of objection. Yeah, totally.
I don't think people really realize. Some people, not all, but some people who have never done any type of studying of self empowerment thinking, those type of things, or neuro linguistic, thinking, that your thoughts is really like the food you eat. If you put a lot of bad thought in, that's what's going to come out of you. And so if you put a lot of bad food in, you're going to look like you put a lot of bad food in.
Yeah.
And so I think the more people start to think about that, the more you do have the power to change your thoughts. And, some will take advantage of it, some won't.
My mom actually had a great saying she would always tell me when I was complaining or something. She would say, what you think about, you bring about.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
Well, you're constantly, a lot of people think about the worst case scenario. Mm-hmm. They go into something thinking about how horrible it's going to turn out, and it will typically turn out that way or something similar to
They will it.
Yeah, they it's, bring it's, it to
they
themselves.
Don't understand that they're doing that because it comes from, a lot of times, just from the environment that you come out of, your home environment or whatever the case is, that negativity is so prevalent and was so prevalent that you approach things that way. It's almost like pessimism versus optimism. And if you're a pessimist person, and we all have a little of both in us, but those who will optimism will a lot of times overcome.
And my contention as an NLP practitioner and a CPA business consultant is this is the first step, because like I said, you can have all the great information, but this is a big part of marketing, your mindset. If you're going to think negative, then all the great information in the world will not help you.
Right.
Because you're going to match your reality to how you think about reality.
Right.
And the change has to happen at the unconscious level. And when we come back, we're going to continue our very interesting discussion on unconscious thinking.
We're on a roll.
We are on a roll with Spencer Thornack and Charles Gibson. We'll be right back.
Is it important for you to develop a financial plan without the potential conflict associated with commission sales? As a fee-only financial planner, I am paid by you and only you, my client. I'm not compensated in any way by the recommendations I provide. Have you heard the phrase, people do not plan to fail, they fail to plan? My experience has shown that this is too often true when considering one's financial future. If you're ready to take action, call me, Bob Berger, Certified Financial Planner and Certified Divorce Financial Analyst, directly at 602-235-0336. We'll discuss your financial situation and review some small or perhaps large changes that will help you obtain the financial future you desire. Don't let the lack of a plan affect your family's financial future. Call me, Bob Berger, at 602-235-0336 for a free consultation. Again, Bob Berger, Certified Financial Planner, 602-235-0336.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
What if your house is on fire, you call 911? The firemen don't know what to do, the truck's got a flat tire, the water hose has a leak, they can't decide what to wear, and everybody wants to drive the truck. This never happens because they have a process, they follow it, they're on the same page. I'll help you put your fires out with a business process. I'm Barbara Haggerty, helping you mind your own business. 602-750-4518. Increase the bottom line now. Even a two-person business needs a process, and I specialize in small business. 602-750-4518.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Business Innovation Panel with Spencer Thornock and Charles Gibbs. I said that pretty good.
There you go. Gibbs. There you go. He wants me to be Bob Gibson's son.
He was a great pitcher, though.
He was a great pitcher.
But not St. Louis,
he was a great baseball
right?
player.
Yeah.
Yes.
Excellent. So, yeah. Spencer, are you a sports fan?
I like the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like
Diamondbacks. How about hockey?
I like going to hockey games. I don't really follow hockey. But
there we go. So, now, we were talking off there about some movies. And, of course, Charles, you mentioned one that might relate to what we're talking about, What Women Want. Mel Gibson, what about that movie?
Well, what I liked about it for the most part is the aspect of one actually believing that you can read someone else's mind. Of course, he gets hit by lightning or something, as I recall. And all at once now he can read these women's minds.
He was trying on all these female like products, like because he was selling. He was in the bathroom and he was trying to, and then he fell in the toilet.
It was an electric shock.
Yeah, he got shocked.
Yeah, it was some kind of a deal that took him, of course, into an area in which only men could only hope and wish that they could get there, so that they could be more accurate in how do you please in a relationship from a standpoint of dealing with other people's expectations. And so it is hilarious, but naturally that's not how things work. That's why they have things that are called pre-qualifying or probing or whatever the case is in the real process of selling, so that you can help people to kind of define where they are versus what they'd like to get out of the purchase. And the better you get at that, the more you build a sincere relationships with people then start to trust you enough where they will refer others to you because they know that this person is not just going to quote just sell me something. They're going to help me to be a better buyer by asking key questions about what are my needs, my wants, and my interests, and helping me to define the difference between what I need and what I want.
That's a good point. And, you know, and it really made him more aware of how he related to women once he heard their feedback. And so feedback is very important. And I do believe you don't have to be hit by lightning to develop that skill.
No, you don't.
I mean, nonverbal communication skills, understanding how the mind processes information and watching for cues can be a great skill in which to gain feedback to judge, hey, am I getting through to this person or not? And it develops compassion, too.
Well, you know, people have objections, and sometimes it's difficult for you to tell what is founded and what's unfounded. Meaning that, are you being sincere in your objection, or are you just doing this just because of whatever that you're not sharing with me? So I think that it's important that you not only know what it is that you have, but you really do help people to identify with how they're going to benefit from it. Because people pay for benefits, they shop features.
Yeah, that's a good point. And Spencer, we were also talking about another movie that's famous, The Boiler Room, and probably what not to do if you're in sales. It's all short-term thinking, it's deception, it's greed. Am I right?
Right. If that's your driving force, if you're only out there to make a buck, you may be successful in the short term, but it's not going to be something that you can maintain over the long term and really feel fulfilled doing. I mean, it's, and that's kind of what, I mean, in Boiler Room, he eventually just can't take it anymore. He realizes, I mean, there was he duped someone out of, so a guy in his family out of like $50,000 or something. They were saving up for a house. And I mean, I don't think that there are too many people out there, but I mean, it's just kind of even the small things. Like, you take it back to a small scale. You know, were you providing the right solution at the right time? You know, you'll know. Yeah. But
And do you care?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of this is about do you care? Because you'll find that some salespeople, and depending on what they're representing, they could care less whether you truly benefit from the purchase that you made or not. And so they're just after the commission.
Yeah,
and so you get, once that is entrenched in your thinking, you become a pretty dangerous person, and there are some victims that's going to kind of fall into your web.
You know, and what's interesting about Boiler Room is that the management encouraged that by measuring and having criteria who's going to be the best by selling the most and the quickest, and so you got to look at your measurement program too. How do you measure success? And if you have the wrong criteria, like in the single world or couples relationships, if you have the wrong criteria in which to choose a partner, that's not going to go very far either. You got to look at, especially in the singles world or relationships, a lot of people use short-term criteria hoping for a long-term committed relationship.
Yeah.
That doesn't work.
That doesn't work.
So you have short-term criteria for a long-term relationship,
right.
And then they get married and go, wow, how come you're not like this? Well, you didn't pick someone like this.
Right.
Hello?
Right.
Right? It's unbelievable what happens. But measurement is important. And Spencer, you were talking about measurement, right, on the website.
Yes.
And that's important because it does offer feedback to change things if you're not getting the response you want.
Right. But, I mean, if you set these systems in place and you know how to interpret the statistics, which with a little practice is not difficult, you're able to see if you're effective online and with your website, or you can even track numbers of phone calls that are coming in from your website and things like that. But it's important to really set goals, because if you're just looking at the statistics without some sort of goal, you're really just kind of floating out there without a rudder. You're not heading in any sort of direction. It's something that takes a continual action. It's persistent, continuous action towards your goal. I mean, that's kind of the driver that really moves to over to success.
Absolutely.
I think, you know, when it comes to websites and people like Spencer, as they talk, you know, as he talked to people about the fact of, most of this is about research. What kind of research did you do to determine the website? You know, are you, because if you didn't do any research, chances are it's almost an impossibility for you to come up with enough of the right things to share with him that he could build it even if he wanted to, because
You just didn't do enough research.
That makes a lot of sense. And can you believe we're at the end of the show already? This flew by. That is
great.
Unbelievable. We need to expand this to 8 hours.
That was a great show.
This was fun.
This was a lot of fun.
Thank God that all my hours in the day just doesn't blow by this fast.
It would be sort of cool. And that's an NLP technique. It's called time distortion techniques. I could teach people NLP. Yeah. Charles, what's your contact information?
My contact information is 602-714-1693 is my phone number. And if you you can call me anytime between 9 in the morning and 6 at night.
Excellent. Spencer, how do they get in touch with you?
Visit breakradioshow.com. Scroll all the way to the bottom right, and you'll see my logo. Just click right on there.
That's right. Yeah. It is a good logo, too.
And visit the site, breakradioshow.com.
Excellent. Sign up for the newsletter.
Keep up to date. Watch the show live.
Yeah, which is always fun. And we'll be able to hear podcasts or other things like that soon.
Very soon.
Probably a couple days, I bet. So, anyway, thank you, Spencer. Thank you, Charles.
Absolutely.
This was a fun show about the mindset applied to marketing, sales.
Absolutely.
The significant part of business. And stay tuned, of course, for this Friday, our Breakthrough Sports. Craig Dean and Leanne Hall will be on the air with some special guests. Everyone have a great week, and we'll see everyone Friday.